So that's more me.
Call to order, 48-hour notice. Opening statement. Pursuant to NJSA 10-4-10, notice of this meeting being held on Tuesday, August 19, 2025, has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limit prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. So we're pleased to welcome Mary Nate Hearn tonight. The board had a vacancy that came up unexpectedly approximately a month ago, and the board interviewed all three candidates that applied to fill the vacancy. Marion was nominated and unanimously approved at the last meeting, and so we're going to start with the oath of office.
Yep, so the first order of business, Ms. Ahern, is to swear you in for a term expiring the reorganization meeting in 2026. If you could stand up, in front of you is the oath of office, and if you could just raise your hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Marion Ahern.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and in this state.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
I state your name.
I, Marion Ahern.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of a member of a Board of Education.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of a member of the Board of Education.
Am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS-19-4-1. Am not disqualified due to conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJSA-18A-12-1.
And am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS-19-4-1. Am not disqualified due to the conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJSA-18A-12-1.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all of the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Congratulations, Ms. Ahern. Welcome aboard.
Ms. Ahern?
Here.
Mr. Boldeman?
Here.
Mr. Carnahan?
Here.
Mr. Catani?
Here.
Ms. Kavanaugh?
Here.
Mr. D'Ambrosio?
Here.
Mr. Dibble?
Here.
Mr. Lafredo?
Here.
Mrs. Malone?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino? Mrs. Pollack?
Here.
Mr. Serino?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Mission statement. Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next combined committee of the whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during the regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote.
Presentations. Good evening, everyone. I don't know how many of you in the room play golf. I had an opportunity over the summer to play my first round in about 20 years, and my goal of not ruining the round for everyone else was achieved. And
And, you know, and as you're playing, you recognize how difficult that game is. And tonight we're honoring one of our students who has been an unbelievable player. He's an incredible young man and has achieved so much in his first 3 years here. Looking forward for him to lead us again this year. We have a little video to show you what he's been up to before we call up Coach and Dylan up here. So take a look at the video.
For 3 years, and he's the first student I know about at Manasquan High School who strictly plays golf. No one wants to play golf, and no one wants to. I can tell you that. I think, of course, he came second in the short conference this year. But with the stat, I really think that shines for him is there's 4,000 men's golfers in the state of New Jersey. And to qualify for tournaments, why not? They take your six best scores. And when you take your six best scores, Dylan averaged number 8 in the state out of 4,000. But when you take every round of golf and don't throw away the bad rounds, Dylan averaged 18th. So, I mean, if you had a 10 on a hole or something like that, it counts towards his complete state average.
We're not talking about my rep, we're talking
about his rep. No, so he very rarely has a bad day.
Okay.
He really does. But when you count everything, every single shot out of 4,000 kids, he was 18.
That's awesome.
In average. So.
Well, tonight, Coach, thank you for all you're doing for the team and also for Dylan. The Manasquan Board of Education congratulates Dylan Matisich. He was first place under Under Armour National Championship the NJPGA Junior Tour Top 30, and he plays, as Coach mentioned, second place in the Shore Conference Tournament. He's going to win it this year, right, Dylan? He's ready. Come on up, Dylan Madison. So, we put you on the spot. We know you can handle it. Come over here. So, how did you get into golf? The way you attack it?
I got into it when I was very young. My uncle had gotten my first set of clubs when I was probably about 7. Never really played in tournaments up until about 11, 12 years old. And I really found that I wasn't a physical specimen, but golf just was fun. Everything about it was fun. Going to camps when I was younger, playing with my friends. So there's just something about it that felt different. It didn't depend on how big you were, how strong you were, how fast you were. It didn't take in all those aspects, and you didn't have to rely on anybody but yourself. And it really came down to me choosing a sport that made me feel like myself, and I felt like I belonged in the sport.
So I'm watching your swing. There is no way I could replicate that swing at this point. And go back even, I guess, to Tiger Woods, where physical conditioning, you talk about specimen, being a specimen. You know, what do you do to prepare to play your best, other than just swing the club?
I'd say it's mostly just staying up there with the conditioning, and really just focusing on my body, recovery, and me being able to bounce back from, any sort of injury. And I just feel like it really determines on how much you decide to take care of your body, and how much you decide to take responsibility for what you eat, and how much you're able to take care of yourself.
Well, I know in talking to you how much effort you put into work. The entire community is so proud of you and your accomplishments. I wish you all the best. Go get them this year. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
The official one. That's your position.
The slide is back.
There are some, Dylan and family, there are some light refreshments for you to enjoy. Again, congratulations. Ready? The principals and director report.
Good evening, everyone. So tonight I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about some summer updates, what's been going on at Manasquan Elementary School this very busy and fast-paced summer. So as per usual, we had our extended school year program. You might remember that last year we ran that program here at the high school due to construction. This year we were able to move it to Pod C during the construction, so it was nice to have it back at Manasquan Elementary School, even if we were, you know, condensed into an area during the construction phase. We do, during that time, have a pre-K program, an MD program. We have some resource room students, and we have a supplemental reading program during that time. Over the summer, we also run our ESL program, which is designed to prevent gaps and close some of those gaps in some of those key skills for English language development over the summer. We held our summer skills program, which is a voluntary program. Students in grades K through 4 worked on math and language arts. We had in grades 5 through 8, there was a focus on the summer reading assignment, helping students to get through that with a little bit of support. And then in grades 5 through 8, math students were working on some of those critical skills. And then we always run our algebra bridge course in the summertime. That course is specifically designed for students who are eligible to take algebra as 7th graders, meaning they'll take geometry in 8th grade and get a real leg up on their math instruction for high school. We had 13 eligible students this year. Most of them took advantage of our algebra bridge course so that they're really well prepared to start algebra in grade 7. We also, like I mentioned, have been, you know, having ongoing construction going on at the high school, at the elementary school. There have been great fun watching the cranes come in and drop those units, you know, on the top of the roof. We did get some really nice new flooring in Pod C. The teachers are very excited about the carpet coming out in those classrooms and those nice floors going in. And we've been really enjoying watching the renovations going on in those hundreds hallway classrooms, the remaining ones that are being finished. We have been working very closely with our team on maximizing our schedule, making sure that we are looking not only for our middle school students at how can we give everybody the honors courses that they deserve in our schedule, which has just a few sections available, and then also building in opportunities to maximize curricular time and opportunities for supported small group work in our lower grade levels. Tomorrow, we have pre-kindergarten orientation. It is slated to be outside. The weather is not cooperating with us at the moment, so we will potentially move that indoors. We'll make a little bit of a game time decision. The forecast is changing every hour when I check it, so we will see. It's okay. We will bring it indoors if we need to, using our cafeteria and our media center space. If we need to, Thursday, we have kindergarten orientation. We may be able to hold that one outside. If not, we'll move that one indoors as well. And then we also have our new students, anyone who's transferring into MES is coming on Thursday for new student orientation. Our student council students are planning to give them a nice tour, answer any questions they have, help make sure everybody feels ready for day one. And in our facilities, we're really just talking about how to maximize our use of space for all of our classes. As the renovations wrap up, we're just really thinking about how to best utilize all of our space. So that's pretty much what has been the focus for us at MES this summer, other than our assistant principal search. So as many of you know, with Ms. Paleo moving into our director of curriculum role, we are looking for an assistant principal. We had approximately 200 candidates. It was really a lot. We had a really deep, you know, deeply talented, qualified pool. It was great to go through those applications. From there, we narrowed it down to about 35, and we had meet and greet interviews with all 35 of those candidates, which was a great opportunity to kind of get to know some of those people. From there, we held 12 in-person interviews with a representative staff committee. The committee was great because they were thrilled to be here, to be a part of the process, to have their voice heard, to get the opportunity to ask questions and, you know, to really get their concerns and their interests included. So we had members from lower elementary teaching staff, upper elementary teaching staff, our related services, you know, like speech and OT, our child study team. We had special educators, we had special area teachers, we had counseling staff. So really great representative committee of our staff, and they helped narrow it down to 6 in-person interviews with our district administrative team, and that led us to one really truly amazing candidate who we're recommending to you this evening. So looking forward to you being able to.
So first off, thank you for giving up your summer. And you know, thank you for all your efforts and the staff and your search, and then also assuming full control of the elementary school, all the work. And I know you're looking forward to getting back to the little orientations tomorrow and Thursday. But thank you all you did.
My pleasure.
This summer. Please find a couple of days in the last couple of weeks to find some time for
yourself. See what we can do. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Ms. Minetta, we did miss all of your students here this summer, but I know they're working on Pod C. Quickly, I just want to talk about one of the data analysis we did this summer with some club and activity participation. discuss our summer learning, just update everybody on laptops and student schedules, and then we're ready to open. So the conclusion of the school year, we really spent some time early on in the summer just looking at the type of offerings that we have for our students outside of the classroom. Right? When our bell rings here at 2:24 each day, we call that halftime, right? Because our afternoons and evenings are so busy. So I just wanted to share that we found that 67% of our students are participating in at least one club. We have 71% of our students are participating in a sport, and then 788 or 86% of our students are participating in a sport and a club. Obviously our students are very busy, and as you can see, just doing great things. And actually, Mr. Goodall Dillon is one of those that participates in one of each. Not only does he dominate, obviously, on the golf course, but he's a part of our unified sports program. So many of our students, they're giving back and kind of diversifying, their high school experience as they prepare for college. So I just want to be able to share that this evening. So 86% is something that we're proud of, and we're looking to raise that number. Summer learning is coming to an end. Our final exams for our courses will be administered next week. Obviously, we had a business and financial lit and our Warrior Technology Seminar, where our students learned our learning management system of Canvas, how to navigate the Microsoft Office suite, those classes. We offered constitutional law and introduction to law this summer, as well as social media, internet marketing, and sports and entertainment marketing. Those courses are offered in a hybrid format where they met in person four times and weekly on Teams meetings. And for the first time, we offered Honors Calculus and Algebra 2 at in-person summer learning this year, which very thankful to all of our teachers, but in particular Ms. Canonico and Ms. Abad, who really gave up their whole summer. It was Monday to Thursday, 7:30 to 10:30 every day, so they really got after it, and really thankful for everyone and their support of this program as students now gain, with all these programs, their flexibility in elective choices and transcript building. So exciting summer for our students. Certainly encourage them, as Mr. Goodall said, to take a few days off before we get rolling soon. But one of the many unique aspects of the student experience here at Matawan, so we're very fortunate. Thank you for that. Thanks to the technology department, they are geared up and ready to start laptop distribution tomorrow. There'll be a line out every door of this building for kids to come in and get them. Somehow they have this down to a science, every kid in grades 5 through 12 picking up at their laptop, and the ability to jump in early, make sure that they feel comfortable on the first day, that can't be understated. So thank you to Mr. Place and the technology department for getting that up and running. Yesterday's student course list and class schedule were made available in the portal, so I'm sure the techs were on a fury and who's in what class, but we like doing that nice and early to build excitement for the school year. We're anxious to have everybody back. But just a reminder, if any student has any questions about their schedule, guidance counselors are ready available to chat about it. But just want to share that those are schedules are out, and the plan for laptops is underway. And here we are. Thank you to Director Paleo for organizing an amazing new teacher orientation, which concluded today. We'll be welcoming staff very, very soon on their professional development days. New studio orientation, Wednesday, September 3rd, where just like last year, we're gonna invite the freshmen in, and they'll go through their full schedule. They'll have a class meeting with myself and the assistant principals, and we'll have a club rush, as well as lunch. Our hope is to be able to do it outside, just like we did last year. And then give it a new twist this year, where we're gonna conclude the day, with some funny games. I hear there's a pin the nose on the principal or something like that. So I'm sure there'll be pictures of that. But we're building excitement for the first day, and alleviating the pressure of kids coming from all different towns and backgrounds and experiences, and making them one. So they'll be the only students on that day, September 3rd. So looking forward to welcoming them then. And then we'll kick off everybody on Thursday. And finally, today, fall sports began. Last week, girls tennis and football. Today was everybody. So it was great to have campus back buzzing on this beautiful day. So you know, we're obviously excited to welcome everybody and get everybody going. So thank you.
Before we get to Mrs. Pelayo, I should have asked if anyone had any questions from Mrs. Minetta or Dr. Kukoda about anything presented. Okay. Mrs. Pelayo, thank you for taking on this new role, and you hit the ground running for sure. So what is happening during the summer?
Lots happening over the summer, all exciting things. We started off by taking a look as soon as those AP scores came out, doing an analysis on those. We also wrote some curriculum over the summer and analyzed some standards and all of that sort of stuff. And lastly, we took a look at training the trainers, getting us ready for our personalized PD. So I'm going to go a little bit deeper into each of those. So this summer, we built two new courses. In conjunction with the teachers have written new courses. The first is World Music. It's a semester course offered at the high school. It's kind of an introductory course, building music appreciation, introducing students to all of the vocabulary that's associated with music, and then exploring regions around the world of, you know, what that looks like, comparing, contrasting. And actually, the way that we built this course, because it's only a semester course, the instructor found it very valuable to make sure that it was customized to reflect the student interest, right? Because it's an introductory course, she wants to make sure that the students are appreciating it, and she wanted it to reflect their interest as well. So we built in some optional units. Some of them will be, you know, kind of mandatory to kind of build the scope and sequence of the course, and then the students will be able to select which units they explore. So that was one of the new courses. And then the other new course is an AP research course, which allows students to kind of take on a passion project and document their experience throughout the year. This is another AP course. Dr. Kukoda had mentioned that there's AP seminar. This is kind of the back end. Another course that will be used to really give students another opportunity to explore an English writing course. Then in the elementary school, we took a look at the standards audit. It's really important to make sure that we're maximizing every minute in those classrooms. Our Wit and Wisdom curriculum, which is our ELA curriculum, is tremendous. There's a wealth of resources and different, you know, informational texts and literature that go along with things. So what we wanted to do was make sure that we took a look at what those modules look like at each of the grade levels, and take a look at social studies and science and see where we could build build off of those units to kind of tie everything together. What was really wonderful about this is, number one, we had teachers who were extremely invested in this process, so it really led to some great dialogue, but it also allowed us to identify and patch some gaps in the standards. So we took a look at social studies and science and what was happening, and it allowed us to realign which grade levels will be handling those standards by the end of the grade band, and it allowed us to really dive deep this year so that next year we can put out a great curriculum document reflective of all the back-end work we did this year. So then taking a look at the AP reports. So AP recognizes that a 3 or a higher is considered passing. Of course, 4 or 5 is ideal because most of our higher end colleges will only receive or will only accept those scores. And then NHS mandates that all students who are enrolled in an AP class will take the subject area test, which is really important to make sure that our students have that opportunity. They may know more than they think they do, right? So by participating in that course, they are signed up to take the exam. This is just a quick graphic of a lot of data. I do have some graphs to support this in just a little bit, but one of the things that I think that really stands out is that we had record proficiency. 82% of our students achieved the score of 3 or higher, which is the highest in the last 5 years. But breaking it down just a bit further, 52% of our students scored a 4 or higher, and 17% scored a 5 or higher. So to me, those are really great marks, and it shows that our students really were invested in their learning, and our teachers have done a really good job in preparing the students to be able to become proficient in those courses. In addition, something that I think is really important to note, while we have increased our proficiency, the participation rate has also increased. So while we are making this more accessible to our students, we are continuing to, you know, increase our proficiency in the courses. So that is definitely exciting. We built from 29% participation in 2021 to 39% of MHS students participating in at least one AP course. In general, 358 students took 761 exams last year. And there's some notable improvement in a few courses that I think are worth mentioning. And I have kind of a graphic to show that a little bit later on. Human geography, in 2021, they had a 51% passing rate. And then in 2025, it had a 70% passing rate. U.S. history had a 36% passing rate in 2021, 97% in 2025. Physics 1 was 14% in 2021, increased to 75% in 2025. And psychology went from 4% in 2021 to 75% in 2025. So as you can see, there's been a lot of work that's taken place over the past 5 years, and I think it's really reflected in these stats. So this is just kind of a quick graphic. I think it's really interesting to see, you know, just in terms of participation, how it's gone up over the years. So this, I love these charts, and I know that not many people love these charts, but I do, so I want to take a moment to just explain what these mean. You know, these were the four courses that I had mentioned. The yellow is a 3, and I made it yellow almost like a slowdown kind of thing because not all colleges accept it. But the green, the light green is a 4, and the dark green is a 5. And what you can see moving from 2021 to 2025 is, if you look from yellow to dark green, you know, all of these have significantly improved. But especially in U.S. history, you can see the percentage of 4 and 5 is tremendous, you know, how they've built from 2021 on through 2025. And you can kind of see it varies year to year. And just remember, we increased accessibility. So more students are taking these courses, which is wonderful, but also the proficiency rate has increased as well. Okay, and then my last segment of tonight's presentation is talking about our Train the Trainers. I have to tell you, there was so much energy in the room last week with our instructors for next year's personalized PD. They are so excited to get started and to, you know, to be educating their peers. I think that summer energy in the middle of August, they came in and they, you wouldn't know it was August. They were really excited to get down to business and start planning. We had Dr. Tinkin here and Ms. Stephanie Goldberg. They led the staff through, you know, some icebreakers, which they had, you know, are kind of notoriously dreaded at times, but they basically were able to show the staff how to, you know, model. You know, they were modeling some really effective strategies in, you know, tapping into some of their peers. You know, there's going to be courses that are district-led, MHS, and MES solo. So we have kind of a breadth of different types of courses that are going to be offered. This chart right here is showing our organizational goals. So down the center, we have all of our non-tenured teachers who are either year one or not a lot of experience. They're going into our high impact teaching strategies just because it's a broad-based course that really touches on things like classroom management, parent communication, setting the tone, and accountability. But also, our teachers were able to sign up out of 12 courses, they were able to sign up for these courses, and they will be participating in 5 days of professional development, half days over the year, that are dedicated to this one course. So the high impact teaching strategies was open to the non-tenured teachers, but it was also open to tenured teachers. We found that the discourse that can happen there, the experience that can be added, would really make that course impactful. And then down on the side, we also have opportunities for teachers to have personalized projects. We're kind of developing what that will look like throughout the year. I'll be working with the administrators to basically give them a mentor throughout the year as they are checking in and developing their personalized project. So these are some of the courses that were offered, or these are the courses that we'll be offering next year. We set up a Teams page to make it kind of like have a hub there. Each of the teachers, the instructors for the course, will be housing the resources for their individual program through a Teams channel so that throughout the year we're kind of building a cohort and they can continue to network throughout the year, not just on those half days.
Mrs. Play, if you could send me the AP information, yes. And why don't we get it posted to the website, the high school website, Celebrate Success. And also, I could send it out to the board in the Friday packet, because there was a lot of information in
there.
So they can look at that a little deeper. But any questions for Mrs. Pelayo?
I have a question.
Sure.
These numbers are outstanding, but it also makes me wonder what, this is only 4 years, to go from 4% to 75% passing, to go from 36 to 97, what variables were at play here to make such a dramatic difference in such a short amount of time?
It's a great question. You know, I'm stepping into the role of, however I heard.
I can get some info. So we noticed, even pre-COVID, that we were not doing well, and we were not trending in the right direction. Coincidentally, we were able to bring on some incredible new teachers who were already teaching these subjects in other districts. We provided the most up-to-date training. The board was very generous in allowing for us to send every one of our AP teachers to the up-to-date AP training. A lot of them hadn't been there for a while. And in the end, I started it, and Dr. Kokoda, finished it up. We pay more attention to the student outcomes. That having an AP course is just not something you put on your transcript. We feel the test and the journey between the teacher and the student, this rigorous journey, is very, very important for us to celebrate the kids doing well on the test. And once we started doing that, our numbers just kept going up and up and up. Traditionally, the high school was on the honor roll for AP. We just had a downward trend for about 5 years, and we've recovered quite nicely. And I credit the staff and the kids themselves for paying attention to that.
Did you change the ability of kids to take courses? Were you more rigorous in who you were allowing to take them?
I'll give you an example. For some reason, we look forward, we don't look behind, but AP Micro and AP Macro is a very popular class here, but it was offered as a half-year course. Just, in my opinion, was not enough time for the teacher to cover the content. You need to be successful. And we made it full-year courses. Now, kids had to make choices, but the results have spoken for themselves. There's been a great increase in success on that test. And most of the kids take both classes anyway. In addition, allowing for, because of science labs, allowing double block opportunities for the science classes. They get double the time. So that has produced, and that was part of the reason why we started all the summer courses, to allow kids to get a jump on their schedule as they had to make choices during the regular scheduling.
Well, I congratulate you. This is an amazing example of seeing a problem and fixing it in a very short amount of time. This is amazing.
So we love winning in Manasquan. We know that. And got back to gold on a roll. And platinum is a very lofty challenge. And I know we were touching on it at curriculum meeting, that the AP research class is an indicator of how the school can get to that. We have to do a little bit better on our outcomes, and I see no reason why we won't get to platinum at some point. So,
is it the same test that's given at the end for each individual AP class, or do they change the tests?
They change the test each year. Usually there's a lot of dialogue in the AP community about certain aspects of it that they're going to focus on this year. So I think that being a part of that dialogue, I'm sure, is a part of some of their instructional planning as well. But yeah, it does change, varies bit to bit each year.
I think part of that too, and I appreciate the comments, is taking Calc AB, for example, right? All students got either a 4 or 5. Right? And they were prepared from pre-calculus to do that. The cultivating that, as Mr. Goodall said, that passion and that desire to work hard, and having that trickle down to the lower levels of the sub-varsity, so to speak, right? That culture of learning, and that permeates and as they make their way up. So thankful to our teachers, obviously teaching the courses, but those that are preparing the students to take AP classes as well.
Thank you all for everything you've done all summer. How do those AP, like the percentage, you know, percentage scoring of 3 or 4 or 5, how do those compare to New Jersey norms or national norms?
You know, I haven't done that analysis just yet. But
I can't believe I found a data point that you haven't.
But I would love to explore that further. I imagine it's quite high. 82% is a pretty high number.
It feels it.
Yeah, it's definitely a high number.
Yeah.
I'd have to do a little bit more digging to get that data point.
I have a chart that shows all of that. I can show you everything.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
So I'll just send it over there. Thank you to about it.
Yeah.
But like just as a for instance, like AP Psych has like a national 70% pass rate. So I think we were down initially on a class like that, and it's about understanding how to deliver that curriculum in order to get yourself to an AP level. I would say Human Geo probably sits somewhere around a 60% pass rate nationally. So you think about some of those, and then like to Dr. Kokoda's point, when you look at some of those higher level math courses, I think the real benefit here is that students have other opportunities, an honors calc class if they're not ready for an AP Calc AB or EC. So they've got those other opportunities instead of forcing themselves into an AP class to settle into some of those other courses that are offered here. So.
Then we'll have to replicate it with IB as well.
Good.
No problem. Any other questions? Thank you. Please stay.
Acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of July 15, 2025. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exist. Can I have a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes.
Mr. Serena? Mr. Loffredo?
Ms. Ahern?
Yes.
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mr. Carnahan?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Ms. Kavanaugh?
Yes.
Mr. D'Ambrosio?
Abstain.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Ms. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right for the presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. In order to ensure all members of the public who wish to participate are afforded a timely and orderly opportunity to do so, the board may not answer questions posed by those making comments. The board may address questions posed during this period once all members of the public wishing to speak have done so. The board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion, or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only. Would anyone like to be heard? Seeing no one, would anyone like to be heard on items not on the agenda? Seeing no one, we'll move to the discussion items.
And did a curriculum committee meeting?
We had a curriculum committee meeting on August 14th at 5 p.m. in the high school meeting center here. It was very well attended by the administrative staff. I'm very appreciative that they did that on a Thursday night in August.
we discussed much of the information that was provided in the principal's reports and the director's report tonight. Just to add, in terms of the advanced placement, the high school currently offers 27 AP courses, and there were 129 students who were recognized as AP scholars in addition to the school's recognition. We held a discussion led by Mrs. Kenny and Dr. Kokoda about the consideration of eliminating reporting of high school rank, and that will be discussed further by the administrative team. And then we discussed action plans both for the high school and for the elementary school, focused on attendance. In addition to that, there was a discussion of the summer curriculum work. So Ms. Playa went over much of that tonight. And then just an update on how the summer classes were going, and it sounds like everything went well, and certainly the school community and both sides of the street was very busy over the summer. So thank you for all you do and for all the teachers who put their time into this.
Okay, personnel we'll talk about in executive session. Mr. Place, we have policies, second read.
Yep, so these are the two policies we had on for first reading last month regarding the academic integrity and the accompanying AI policy. Actually, we discussed them in June. We talked about the goals from last year, the committee that developed, and we had first reading in July. There have been no changes since that, but I'm happy to answer any questions if anyone has any for their final approval. Okay.
Dr. Crowley, anything finance, buildings?
Yeah, I'll discuss the construction that's ongoing. Megan touched on it a little bit, and I'd like to thank Megan and her staff for their tolerating the contractor's presence in their buildings over the last 48 months, what seems like. We have a number of projects ongoing. As you know, they're all starting to wrap up. The ESIP project, which was the energy improvement project that included the replacement of all lights in the district and about 50% of the HVAC at the elementary school. The crane that was here today was actually lifting the last rooftop unit associated with that project. That'll be started up at the end of this week, and that'll just be waiting for testing and balancing, which is going to take place next week. So that project is about 99% complete at this point. I just got off the phone before I came here on the final meeting for the solar PPA project. All systems are on the roof, turned on, and commissioned by the BPU, so we're excited that that's now up and running. In a few months, I'll definitely report out to you on the savings that we're incurring with that, which we anticipate being significant, especially with the increased price of energy that I'm sure you're all feeling at home. The H&S project, the main project of the referendum, is roughly 95% complete right now. We are working on wrapping up the 100 women's classrooms. That's the portion that primarily is affecting students at this point. We hope to get them in shortly, if not before the school year starts, certainly within the next month or two. Over the next several months, we'll work on closing out that project. That's going to be a project in and of itself, but we're excited that the construction's nearing an end and the kids are going to start to enjoy the all the facilities that we've upgraded. Megan mentioned this as well, but it was a project that took place in the high school. We replaced all the carpeted floors in every room in the district, excluding the media centers, the two media centers, which we're going to keep the carpet in just for acoustic purposes. But at this point, no instructional space other than the media center on either side of the street has carpet. They all have either VCT vinyl flooring or LVT vinyl flooring, which I know is exciting. I know it's a high priority for the teachers. They'll be excited to come and not have old carpet anymore and be able to teach in nice, clean rooms. And finally, the other major project that's ongoing is the boiler replacement project at MES. About 53% done with that project. That's going to continue to be ongoing until October 15th, which is the startup date for the boilers over there in line with heating season. And that will pretty much wrap up everything we've been working on for the last year or two. And I appreciate all your patience and support during that. It's exciting to see it finally coming to an end. I know we've had some ups and downs, but it should be great once it's all done. So thank you to the board and the community for your support throughout this whole process.
And Dr. Crowley, thank you for keeping us up on everything happening with us.
Sure.
You put a lot of time.
Yeah, it's good work though. It's exciting, and I do want to just mention, not related to the construction, but work that is definitely acknowledgeable is the work that our own maintenance and custodial staff have done over the summer, that they do every summer, to get the rooms ready and to get the rooms clean and safe for the kids to come in. They've been working their tails off, and I think I don't know if you guys would agree, but I think all the facilities look great, and we're ready to roll come September too. So, thanks, Mr. Grove.
To the superintendent's report, as of August 12th, the enrollment at the high school is 868 students, the elementary 463. We completed our requisite safety drills in the high school in the CLI building and in the elementary school for July, and thankfully we have no incidents at either school of HIBs over the summer, so that's good news. The building principal each year informs the superintendent, and we're required to report out on our students, their graduation, and their progress towards graduation. Thankfully, right, Dr. Kakuta, every one of our students graduated last June. Some graduated through standardized testing and, of course, satisfying their requirements. Other students required a substitute competency test, such as the PSAT, ASVAB, or the SAT, and some of our students who have a lot of difficulty with standardized tests use the portfolio appeals process, which is very difficult to complete, so I actually congratulate those students on at the end. I'm sure they didn't want to do that at the end, but they did a great job getting through that, and you know, we had 100% of the eligible students in June graduate. So that was great work by you, Dr. Kukula, and the team and the teachers here. So happy to report that out. And I know we have pre-K orientation coming up. I know it's a fantastic program that, you know, we were looking to expand it and get a grant for the district, and there were some pretty strict conditions on that grant. This year, the grant changed some of the conditions, and you know, in speaking to Dr. Crawley, we made a recommendation to the board president that we move away from searching that grant. It just really doesn't benefit this district, and by allowing that, good news, every eligible pre-K 3 and pre-K 4 child in Manasquan resident was offered a seat. So we have near capacity, and everyone's excited that they'll all be at their elementary school and starting out being a warrior. So, looking forward to the orientation. Mr. Place, district website redesign?
Yeah, so about a year or so ago, the district's web hosting provider, formerly Blackboard, was bought and sold to a new hosting provider called Finalsite. As a result of that, it does require us to change to their new platform. In doing so, we thought that was a good opportunity to kind of refresh some things. Our last website redesign was done in the summer of 2020, so it's been about 5 years, or almost exactly 5 years. So pretty much throughout the spring, the summer, our district stipended webmaster, Brett Wilmes, worked with our technology department to kind of start going through some of that stuff. We're ready to make that transition now. We anticipate doing that this coming Friday morning, sometime in that morning. What that means is just on that day, that it's kind of like when the, you know, manasquanschools.org pointed to the old website, it'll sometime over a few hours in that morning point to the new website. The content is roughly similar, you know, again, from the things that we just kind of cleaned up a little bit. The look and feel will be a little bit different, but we haven't like radically changed the design or the organization of anything, but it will allow us to do some things going forward, make some things more accessible, you know, for various devices, content, stuff like that. So if you do see anything a little weird with our website on Friday, that's what's happening. But like I said, it should be kind of settled and resolved throughout the day on Friday.
And to conclude the superintendent's report, we'll discuss our Board of Education and district goals for this coming school year. We'll start with the first goal, which is targeting the elementary school's progress towards blue ribbon status. Mrs. Minetta, please weigh in at any time. The board will support the staff at the Manasquan Elementary School with the goal to improve instruction, increase achievement, and achieve overall academic proficiency to become blue ribbon eligible. And a run along to that is the superintendent's goal. Superintendent, with the school leadership of Manasquan Elementary School, will build upon identified areas for improvement to move the school towards blue ribbon status in preparation for application. This will involve establishing actionable steps such as enhancing assessment, improving instruction, and promoting a culture conducive to academic progress.
So as you know, we've been looking into blue ribbon for some time, figuring out our pathway. Overall proficiency is really the pathway that we need to take to get to blue ribbon status. So making sure that those proficiency numbers are where they need to be. The way that you get those proficiency numbers where they need to be is you start with instruction, you monitor student progress through your assessment procedures, and you make sure that when it comes time to take that test, much like the success that we've seen with the AP process of the high school, that everybody is taking it seriously, feels prepared and ready to take the test, and our community really understands the power of these assessments in that way, so that we can make sure that we're putting our best foot forward, demonstrating what our students can truly do, and then once we're there, then we can go ahead and put that application in for the blue ribbon process.
Any questions or concerns? And then at the high school, our journey to implement IB is complete, but it's not finished. So the board will support the continued growth of the Manasquan High School IB program through outreach to the classes of 2028, 2029, and 2030 to expand awareness, interest, and readiness for the International Baccalaureate, also known as IB program. The superintendent's goal, with the director of curriculum and instruction, director of counseling services, and the high school principal, will build on the successful launch in community engagement efforts of 25-26 school year. Focus will be on outreach to classes of 2028, 2029, 2030 to expand awareness, interest, and readiness for International Baccalaureate. Dr. Kokoda, any plans and what do you see happening?
Yes, sir. Very excited. We have 14 students that are rising juniors in the IB program. We're actually inviting them, on September 3rd to join us. Myself, Dr. Honorato, our IB coordinator, assistant principals, we're going to invite them to hang out with us for a little bit on the 3rd. They'll be able to join the transfers and the freshman students at orientation for lunch, and just really get them excited, and for us to be able to answer any questions that they may have as they are our pilot cohort. And then we will be using them early and often to help, as it says, for the recruitment for the next cohort. So we will again hold interest meetings beginning with our discussion at back to school night, and then following more targeted informational sessions about enrolling the class, the subsequent classes into the IB program. So proud of the teachers for their hard work. They're ready, they're anxious. It's been a long process for them too. And thankful to the students and the families that are enrolled, and looking forward to continuing to build the program for our students.
Okay. Any questions on IB?
Is that the IB program for your incoming, the open house nights? Do you have a whole section on that too?
We do. Yep. And those, we've had a lot of success with those as, basically just as open-ended, I guess, interest sessions, because it's not, many people are used to advanced placement, right? IB was a new acronym for them. So just kind of giving the, this is what it's all about, and then we're targeted, RSVP type meetings where we can really drill down into what it means for the student as in their high school experience.
The second goal is to focus at both schools on attendance during CUSAC. We were identified as having a small issue with attendance at the high school, and Dr. Kokoda submitted an action plan to the state to approve that, and we were just under the threshold at the elementary school, but we kind of identified some issues with attendance. Certainly the strategies for getting pre-K and kindergartners to come to school is different than our seniors, but we have both are being looked at and strategizing to make sure you have to be here to learn. That's our approach. So I know the principals are going to be working with me and the staff to make sure kids are coming to school and in a timely fashion. So goal number two for MES is the Board of Ed will support implementation at Manasquan Elementary School, comprehensive attendance initiative aimed at reducing chronic absenteeism and promoting consistent student attendance. And the superintendent's goal specifically looks at pre-K and kindergarten with any other issues that come up. Mrs. Mineta, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think it's powerful to establish a solid foundation in pre-kindergarten and kindergarten in our families that attendance at school is critically important. Obviously, as we said, we're aware that kids get sick a lot in pre-kindergarten and kindergarten as they're exposed to those germs kind of for the first time, many of them. We certainly don't want people to send their children to school sick, but as much as possible, being there so they're part of the class, part of the class community, and helping parents to be aware of the why. Why is it so critically important that your child is in attendance? So we'll be starting those discussions at orientations, and those will be ongoing throughout the year.
And then also at the high school, the board will support the implementation at Manasquan High School, comprehensive attendance initiative aimed at reducing chronic absenteeism and promoting consistent student attendance, with the superintendent's goal focusing specifically at our junior and senior, primarily seniors, who second semester there seems to be an issue with consistent attendance. I guess they get into their colleges and they have to know that final transcripts are not sent to these colleges. So Dr. Kokoda, any comments on this goal?
Yeah, thank you. You said it perfectly. We see a habit of selective absenteeism as students get older, we're trying to curb that. And as you highlighted before, the AP scores are a great example. You have to be here, and you have to be there to learn. And it's our goal to ensure that the students understand that by consistent attendance, performance in the classroom will improve. And with having 86% of our students in a club or activity, right, they have to be here to participate in those. So that sometimes is the great equalizer when it comes to attendance. And apologies to Ms. Mineta, I am sick. I should not be here according to your rules, but I wanted to do so. So I'm sorry.
We'll forgive you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your commitment.
Any questions on attendance? Dr. Crowley, I don't want to steal your thunder, but you want to talk about finance and facilities?
The facilities and finance goal kind of relates to shifting our vision from managing these construction projects that, as I mentioned, many of which are coming to an end, to maintaining the new facilities and new equipment that the board has purchased. I listed four or five ongoing projects that are ending right now, but as many of you know, we're completing about a decade of significant investment in our capital plan here. We have new equipment on the rooftops of both buildings now. We have beautiful new classrooms. We have new science labs at the high school. We have the field house, the lower turf, all sorts of incredible assets for our students to use. But this goal deals with developing a comprehensive maintenance plan to make sure those facilities remain great for generations to come. It's that the work is not complete when the construction ends, as you know, with your houses, and they need to be upkept and they need to be taken care of over the next 20, 30, 40 years so that generations of students can benefit from them. In line with that goal is the closeout of these projects that I just mentioned, the ESIP project, some of which, as you know, will be more controversial than others, but closing out the ESIP project, the solar PPA project, the flooring project, the boiler replacement project, and the H&S project, which as you know, is might be headed towards some ongoing negotiations during that closeout, so that'll be a paper project, but a project ongoing nonetheless for my office over the next year.
Great.
questions? Concerns? And I'll defer to Mr. Place on the technology goal.
Sure. The goal we're proposing for technology going forward this school year is kind of a follow-on to the one we looked at over the last two. So the board will recall that 2 years ago, we looked at the one-to-one program, you know, and the devices, and kind of how students use the devices. Last year, we kind of folded in the AI piece, right, and resulting in the policies that we have on the agenda tonight. And this goal is to then go forward and look back again at kind of the classroom technology. And it sort of dovetails a little bit with the facilities part, because as part of the various projects that Dr. Crowley was just referencing, right, we've also been able to do a lot of classroom technology upgrades. Obviously, when like we built new classrooms in the high school, they had new technology through both our normal budget as well as grants. We were able to upgrade a lot of classrooms in the elementary school. Pod A comes to mind, like last summer. And then obviously in the areas that were being renovated as part of the upgrade project this year, they're getting all new technology. So that leaves some pockets of classrooms, right, both in, you know, some significant areas of the high school as well as kind of the pieces of the elementary school that we haven't touched in various states of classroom equipment that, you know, in some cases hasn't been really touched in 15 years or so, in the time I've been here. So this would be, this goal effectively is to take an inventory of all those instructional spaces, kind of define in terms of what do we think is an acceptable and or preferred level of technology for each classroom in its use, and then develop a plan, you know, to kind of say, okay, what are the priority spaces, how do we budget for that, and how do we kind of accomplish that and get everyone on the same page going forward. You know, in terms of when we outfit and when we buy technology for classrooms, one of the things we always think about is, you know, it's nice to be able to say, okay, we'll do like whatever, 5 rooms this year, 5 rooms next year, whatever. The problem with doing that sometimes is that, you know, the technology changes so fast, right? So then you kind of end up with a hodgepodge of different things, you know, throughout the building, which is both more difficult to maintain and also more difficult for teachers, you know, to be, you know, adaptable to go to different spaces. So we kind of keep that in mind as we develop a plan like this, but I do think it's a time that we take some time to thoughtfully think through that and come up with a plan and prioritization that will make sense going forward in the next few years.
Questions or concerns on the technology goal? And that is my superintendent's report.
I recommend approval and acceptance of the superintendent's report. Can I have a motion? Dr. D'Ambrosio? Mr. Serino? Ms. Ahern?
Yes.
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mr. Carnahan?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Ms. Kavanaugh?
Yes.
Mr. D'Ambrosio?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yeah.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mrs. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
We move to the Massachusetts general items, numbers 15 through 25. Does anyone need anything separated out? I have a motion for items numbers 15 through 25. Mr. Zager? Mrs. Malone? Any questions on those items?
I'm going to assume I have the answer, but are there any participants in the Warrior Clubhouse that weren't students?
No.
At the school?
No. That's just the aftercare program. That's the,
yeah.
No, that's all these students.
Thank you.
Ms. Aja?
Yes.
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mrs. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Does anyone need anything separated out on the Massachusetts Sending Districts items 26 to 60? And I have a motion on items number 26 to 60, and I just note that the board goals are item number 57.
Motion.
Dr. Roger? Mr. Loffredo?
Ms. Ahern?
Yes.
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mr. Carnahan?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Ms. Kavanaugh?
Yes.
Mr. D'Ambrosio?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo? Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Lofretta?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
Does anyone have any old or new business they'd like to raise?
Just wanted to thank the board for their continued support. Me, as I move into my second year as superintendent, it's not, again, I've said this several times, it's not lost on me what a privilege it is to serve this community, but I just want to thank all of you, you know, for supporting me and my commitment and my team's commitment to this district, and, you know, I just want to thank you for that. So thank you.
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mrs. Serino?
Yes.
Perform.
Can I have a motion on the Manasquan personnel item number 64?
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Mr. Boldeman?
Ms. Ahern?
Yes.
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Lofretta?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
Can I have a motion on the next one, sending district personnel item number 65?
Motion.
Dr. D'Ambrosio? Mrs. Malone?
Ms. Ahern?
Yes.
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mr. Carnahan?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Ms. Kavanaugh?
Yes.
Mr. D'Ambrosio?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Lofretta?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mrs. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
Before we adjourn, I'd just like to introduce to you Mr. Robert Santa Maria, who is our new elementary vice principal, along with Mrs. Minetta, to compliment her team. So, Mr. Santa Maria, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And if you'd like to say anything.
I grew up in Bricktown, so I was a growing up hearing about all the phenomenal things about the Manasquan School District. I spent the majority of my teaching career up in Middletown. My first 2 years of my administrative career in Middletown was over, all the while hearing the phenomenal things that this district and the students that the things these students accomplished. I'm honored to become a part of the community. So thank you very much.
Congratulations.